Pozdravljeni v novem sklopu oddaj projekta Eurepa, v katerem tokrat predstavljamo alternativne urbane ekonomije. Da bi ta teoretski koncept bolje raziskali, smo se odpravili v nemško prestolnico Berlin, ki jo je nekoč delil tako fizični kot ideološki zid. Dva nasprotujoča si svetovna nazora sta na eni strani ustvarjala individualistične potrošnike, na drugi pa bolj kolektivistično naravnane tovariše. Ta delitev je opazna še danes, ko je Berlin kljub 20 letom zmagoslavja kapitalistične ekonomije še vedno cenovno ugodno mesto, zaznamovano solidarnostno samoorganizacijo svojega prebivalstva. Naša pot nas je popeljala v berlinski Kreuzberg, mestni predel, ki je nekoč slovel po velikem številu skvotov in očitni prisotnosti anarhističnih kolektivov. Danes pa je zaradi nizkih najemnin in visoke kvalitete življenja postal priljubljena destinacija umetnikov, idealistov, hipsterjev, alternativcev in bohemov iz vse Evrope. Ena od lokacij, kamor smo se odpravili, je bil Beta House, znotraj katerega deluje ustvarjalna kooperativa Open Design City. Gre za delavnico odprtega tipa, kjer lahko ustvarjajo umetniki, dizajnerji, programerji, inženirji, ki želijo delovati zunaj univerze ali korporacije oziroma profitno naravnanih podjetij. Več o organizaciji nam je povedal njen aktivni član in neodvisni dizajner Kristof Vajo.
For the beginning, you can just explain what Open Design City is, so and what kind of people are there, and what you're doing, and so on.
Okay, also yes, Open Design City is an open workshop where people can come and do things physically, like prototypes or models for their projects. So it's a place for sharing tools and knowledge. And you can do different things there. I mean, it's a workshop. You can work with wood, with metal, steel. You can also soldering things and make experiments with electronics. You can make rather playful projects for your own fun, or you can do projects together with companies. This also happens. So there is a wide range of this kind of activities there, and it's also a community space to meet and to have events which are mostly non-profit. Sometimes there are also profitable if they are made for companies. It's basically also a co-working space where you can work like in an office. So you can have a desk, put your computer there and sit on a chair and work as in an office.
So you mentioned that some of the concepts, some of the things that you developed there are interesting for companies in the real sector of economy.
Yes, this is the case. This space you can play around and do things which are maybe not so valuable for the real business sector, but the skills we have there, we share, they are perfectly valuable also for the normal economy. It's not only playing around. I mean, it's we share skills, we learn things, and it's like an open hub for exchanging knowledge. So, for example, if you experiment with an open hardware platform called Arduino, you need to program, and there is a whole community gathering there and exchange their experience. So if you have a question and cannot continue, you find somebody who has some idea to find a solution. Or there are many situations where you can exchange ideas and knowledge and be inspired and come faster to a solution. In that way, it's very valuable also for industry or for the normal economy. So actually, this is also normal economy what we are doing. It's not so stable. It's not so structured. It's more chaotic, but there are also networks establishing between people and kind of little businesses starting.
One of the great things I would say about your workshop is this free sharing of knowledge. Can you somehow explain this notion of open knowledge?
I think it's very basic. It's like people are interested in learning things and doing things, like as a main focus for a project or for their own interest. And if you have a group of people having a specific interest in a theme, then you share what you learn. And it's really basic. I mean, there are also people with some theoretical interest, like sharing economy or peer-to-peer production, open source movement for design, open design movement. But there are also people, they just want to share what they know.
We're talking about knowledge, but at the same time, this workshop is not part of the university. And on the other hand, like we said, it's also not part of, I don't know, some corporations or corporate money. Can you tell us the benefits of this position?
What is happening is based on communities and people who are active members. The first good thing about it is not so hierarchical. It's not hierarchical actually, so it's peer to peer. So everybody's on the same level more or less, and in that way it's possible to easier exchange ideas. If you want to try something, you just can try without asking too much or having boundaries, So this is one thing which is interesting. In university background or in companies, there are always political restrictions, or very often you are kind of restricted. But it also means we are also restricted by financial means, so we have to invent or improvise a lot. But this is maybe not so much a problem, because with little means you can already, and a lot of fantasy and innovation capabilities, you can already start to do something.
O ustvarjalni kooperativi in principih, po katerih delujejo, smo govorili z Judith Meyer, aktivistko skupine Trial and Terror, ki prav tako deluje v prostorih Beta House.
Theoretically speaking, you are being opposed to the division of labor that is being forced upon us by the capitalists.
It's the same with education. Like, people want to learn, full stop. Like, but you should let them be free in what they want to learn. If you put too much pressure on it, that they want to go in, that they have to go in a certain way, then you will get this negative relation with learning or with doing things. Then you will see it as a burden of, I have to do this job, or I see it as a job. If you just let it free and you just let it go and flow, then people will just be amazing and will surprise surprise themselves with what they're capable of.
So how does the structure work? Is it more of a horizontal or more of a vertical?
It's horizontal.
So yeah. How does that work?
It's both ways, because it's like, it starts vertical. But if somebody decides, okay, I'm going to take the project leading in this project, then it can also be that person needs to then like coordinate the project, and that means that there's some kind of hierarchy in there of like an ass kicker that just...
So the more engaged individuals, they take initiative and they take the responsibility to lead.
But then their leadership style always depends on what they prefer. And then the people that are in the team also have to somehow communicate if they are conformed, if they're happy with the style, and if they're not happy with the style, then they can also just get out of the team.
So to summarize, you are creating or discovering the common ground for the people to start communicating as something that, something as Marx termed this, something as a general intellect would come out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that we try to use as starting new projects. For example, we have this networking event, Trash of the Month, where every month we try to discover one kind of trash and what to do with it, or how we feel about it, and how we see this in society, or how we see this in our lives. And last month it was food waste, like how much food actually gets thrown away from supermarkets, but also gets sorted out already at farms because it doesn't have like the right shape or size. Potatoes need to have a certain size, or vegetables need to have a certain form. Like a cucumber that is a bendy is bendy, that doesn't even end up in the shop. It just gets thrown away straight away, even though it's perfectly good food. Like, just the bendiness of a cucumber doesn't make it less tasty. It's completely, just because it doesn't fit in the box, literally, made easy to put into the shop. It doesn't get sold or it doesn't get consumed. And we invited some dumpster divers, people that container in different ways, that they go to the fields and collect it, but also go to the supermarkets and get the food out of the trash bins. That is still good, but because it's just overloaded the shop, they just need to throw away bread at the end of the day.
Pri skupini Trial and Error se med drugim ukvarjajo s spreminjanjem dojemanja odpadkov in konceptom upcyclinga, kjer se namesto recikliranja osnovne materiale iznajdeva drugačno rabo odpadkov. V kletnih prostorih Beta Housea pa je skupina organizirala tudi tako imenovani gift oziroma free shop, kjer si lahko kdorkoli brez denarnega nadomestila vzame obleke ali ostale predmete po svojih potrebah. Podobni koncepti se z malce bolj tradicionalnim pristopom razvijajo tudi v organizaciji Ideenverstadt Berlin, kjer se aktivisti na neformalni, a bolj strukturirani ravni povezujejo s trgovinami, ki jim dostavljajo hrano s pretečenim rokom, ki bi sicer romala v smeti. Organizirajo tudi kooperative, ki povezujejo proizvajalce hrane z njenimi potrošniki. Proizvajalcem tako zagotovijo odkup njihovih proizvodov, potrošnikom pa ceneno in kvalitetno hrano. Aktivisti organizacije Ideenverkstatt dajejo močan poudarek na odgovorno potrošnjo in reciklažo, ki je v njihovih projektih dobila povsem novo dimenzijo, predhodno že opisano kot upcycling. Njihovo aktivnost in vrednote je opisala aktivistka Frauke Kehl, ki to razume kot način življenja, pri čemer poudarja, da ta ne sme postati dogmatičen, torej obvezujoč in represiven do članov skupnosti.
The idea is to encourage people to use less in general, to think first before using or buying something or so. And only the second part, I would say, is the form of reuse it. So the first encouragement always should be to use less, or to use very consciously only the things, and we have a look for the things to what you can reuse with a bit of creativity and ideas, and so that you can make out of stuff which former had another function, by now, combined with other materials, it gets a new function, for example. It's also the idea to use together everything, to share whenever it's possible, but again, not in a dogmatic way, because sometimes it's also necessary to have your own space, or to always, where it's possible, put the resources together. Like, we pay only quite a little money here, but in recompense we organize computer space for the children or the young people who come here, and we organize this all by free software, by Linux software, and with all computers people gave to us, basically. And we even build the WLAN, or the internet connection, here with the community we have here, which fights for free wireless LAN everywhere. And so it's always this putting together in the right moment with the right people. Community garden movement, or the urban garden movement, this came up again, or came up at the end of 2000, 2001. So since that years, it's always more spread that people want to have community gardens in the city, for example. But that existed also before, but not in this huge amount, for example. And I think with the gratis economy it's somehow the same, because I mean, it always exists that neighbors help the neighbors, and so on. So these exchanging networks, and I mean, it's everything is not a new idea, but I think what we lost, especially after the Second World War, here in Germany, as everything was destroyed, there, with this building up again, everything, there was this lifestyle of, well, yeah, everything has to be new, fancy, and whatever, and then you throw it away and you buy something new. And so there was a form of lifestyle which came up with all this in German called Wirtschaftswunder, economy miracle, we had here. By now, again, I would say people have to learn again that this is not the whole life, but this is only one period after the Second World War. Like, the whole industrial form of work is only 250-300 years old. I mean, it's not what we have had, what human beings had always and every time, but as we are living now, and what we see, to us it seems that's the only and one and only form is industrial work. And this is so stupid, and I think we have to relearn again that there exist also a lot of other forms, and yeah, discovering again, for example, also where does the food come from, which kind of soil was it, where it has grown in, or yeah, which kind of seed, which quality it is, and so I mean, I think it's clear that with these urban gardening forms we have here, like this, also the community garden here nearby, people have so little plots, like 10 square meters, 15 square meters at maximum. I mean, this is not where you can live, where you can grow that much food that you can live on that, on this. But it's more, yeah, I think it's to make the people curious and reflective about what they eat, where does it come from, in which condition was it produced, for example. So they start also to think about fair trade ideas, and so on. So this is very helpful, and people are interested in this, because yeah, we are all bored, I would say, of this. And nowadays we have such a big offer of everything that people are fed up with this enormous, this huge offer of everything.
I Dejan Frkštat se torej ukvarja z vprašanji skupnostnega načina življenja. Dva od takšnih projektov sta tudi izobraževanje odprti kodi in računalniške delavnice za lokalno mladino, ki omogočajo dostop do interneta z brezplačnim omrežjem Wi-Fi. Ker so takšne inicijative pritegnile našo pozornost, nas je Frauke Kehl napotila v berlinski hekerski brlog klub C-Base. Kljub temu, da so nas hitro zaznali kot tujce, nas je pod svoje okrilje vzel kralj C-Base-a, znan pod vzdevkom Rubel Dikac, ki nam je gostoljubno, a previdno razkazal članske prostore kluba, v katerem se zbirajo računalniški friki.
To have an institution where people can meet, yeah, and share ideas, unusual ideas, technical ideas, yeah. It was founded 18 years ago. The C-Base is not a typical community, yeah, with people of the same age, yeah. It's more a melting pot of people coming here, yeah, and doing things with computers. We have a robotic lab, we have a sound lab, we have a project to gain the moon with our own rocket, yeah, for example. We have hackers here, we have lots of, activities here at the C-Base. For example, the pirate party, the German pirate party was founded at the C-Base.
V klubu, kjer je vsak strmel v svoj računalniški zaslon, smo naleteli na Martina Deljusa, člana piratske stranke, ki v berlinskem mestnem svetu kot poslanec zastopa okrožje Pankov. Prisluhnimo njegovi razlagi organizacijskega koncepta fluidne demokracije, s katerim v stranki horizontalno in mimo ekspertnih hierarhij s pomočjo tako imenovanega crowdsourcinga odkrivajo relevantne odgovore na politična vprašanja.
Is this that the more heads, no more, but we traditionally, we have like this expert hierarchy, you know? Yeah. We have an expert for that, expert for that, but the public, they could bring up the right questions, the relevant answers in such opinion, so are you doing something like that, you know, engaging the public, not the expert public, not that specific public, but the public at large?
That's exactly what we're doing. For example, we implemented this liquid democracy thing in our structure. Liquid democracy is a mixture, or let's say a range between complete direct democracy, plebiscitarian democracy, and representative democracy. And we try to have to provide every member, at least every member of our party, because we're experimenting it within our party, with a mutual platform where they can decide for themselves if they want to place them on the plebiscitarian side and decide everything for themselves, or to have the most representative where they delegate their vote to some person, one person. And they always can change their mind. They always can place themselves for different topics, for different areas of politics and on the global scale, anywhere between this, at any time. They can change their mind anywhere. That's provided by technology. We're always asking, like, who do we want to ask? Who do we want to address? Because not everyone knows about everything. And how do we want to do that? Do we use Twitter? Do we use our party members? You know, the questions depends on each other. And use Liquid Feedback, which is the implementation of Liquid Democracy we use, the software.
V V odprtokodni skupnosti Berlina so zasidrane močne vrednote po svobodi interneta in znanja. Zanje pa je bil zgodovinsko prelomen tudi pojav brezžičnega omrežja Freifunk Wi-Fi, s katerim so računalniški čarovniki na začetku tega tisočletja povezovali zapostavljena berlinska okrožja s tistimi, ki so imela dostop do širokopasovnega interneta. Govorili smo z Elektro, ki je dala nekaj ključnih idej pri vzpostavljanju tega omrežja. Danes pa na podlagi tako pridobljenega znanja pomaga pri graditvi podobnih v državah tretjega sveta.
I had the idea to use the ad hoc mode of wireless. There is a peer-to-peer mode in wireless, ad hoc. And I had the idea to use this ad hoc mode to build a self-organizing, self-healing network. Because any device that operates ad hoc could act as a relay station. So even though one device may only have a range of a few hundred meters or 50 meters indoors, one device could forward data for another device. So they all would build a large wireless cell where every device mutually helps every other device to transport data. And in an automated fashion, you just run a software that coordinates this effort of relaying data. You know, at one point everybody wanted to join our network because they didn't have any other option to have broadband internet access. That was a time when the number of users it was growing rapidly. Actually at the beginning, because we had used this protocol called OLSR, we had a website called OLSR Experiment, because we wanted to state it's an experimental network. So people came to us, they asked, so which kind of device do I have to buy? And then they came and we helped them to flash the router with an alternative operating system that we had developed for certain devices. But many of them, we never saw them again. Their idea was not community, their idea was there is a free service.
Berlin se, kljub temu, da je prestolnica najmočnejše evropske ekonomije, izkaže za zelo ambivalentno mesto, v katerem je zaznati močno prisotnost tako socialne solidarnosti kot boemskega načina življenja, ki se mešata z nemško delovno disciplino. Te medsebojno izključujoče lastnosti pa v praksi vsaj v okviru nekaterih organizacij ustvarjajo svobodomiselno skupnost odprtega znanja, v kateri profesionalno angažirani posamezniki ustvarjajo odprtokodno infrastrukturo, ki je na voljo vsem, med drugim tudi tistim, ki k skupnosti sicer ne prispevajo veliko. Po berlinskem Kreuzbergu sta v iskanju alternativnih urbanih ekonomij tavala Luka Tetičković in Goran Bečirević.